Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We read in the Gospels quite a fair bit of demonic activities. There was this man who lived in the tomb area where people are buried because he could not live amongst the normal people. He was possessed by a legion of demons, not just one, but many. And he was given supernatural strength, because when he was bound by chains, he would snap them easily. And so we know that demons are spirit beings. Many of them could possess one single human being and give him supernatural strength. And then we have another account of a child who was also demon-possessed. And the father said that the child wanted to kill himself by throwing himself into the fire or to be drowned in the waters. So it is suicidal. And then we had this young girl in the book of Acts who was also possessed by a demon, whereby the masters made use of her to tell the future. And she disturbed the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and Paul had to cast the demon out, and they lost their business. And so they were angry with Paul, because she was no longer able to tell the future because the demon departed from her. She did not possess supernatural strength. She was not suicidal, but she was able to tell the future. Now, by these activities, she realized that demonic activities are very much alive. And they are powerful beings. They are powerful creatures. But where did they come from? What is their beginning? The Bible tells us in Genesis that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. This was the first day. And therefore we have to assume by implication that when God said in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that means the place of heaven, that is the third heaven where God's throne and God's dwelling place is real. And the angels were probably created on the first day as well. At the end of God's creation, God made an assessment, and he said that it was very good. Everything was very good. There was no sin, there was no death, there were no demons, there were no fallen angels, no Satan, no devil. Everything was good. But then suddenly, when we come to Genesis chapter 3 from the very beginning, there was this serpent. And we know from Scripture that the devil himself possessed the serpent and made use of the serpent to deceive Eve, which we shall look at, God willing, in greater detail next Lord's Day, the origin or the beginning of sin and death. And so where did this fallen angel come from? And so somewhere between Genesis 2 and the beginning of Genesis 3, something happened. Something happened that made it no longer very good at the end of creation, because sin had entered. And what we have here in Isaiah chapter 14 will reveal to us that something. Something happened in the realm called heaven, where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all the angelic beings lived. It was without sin. It was glorious, beautiful, pure, and holy. And then something tragic and sinful happened. And Isaiah chapter 14 gives us that understanding. Now, this is in the backdrop of the king of Babylon. Isaiah basically ministered during the destruction of the northern kingdom, Israel. Jeremiah ministered during the destruction of the southern kingdom, Judah. The enemy that destroyed Israel were the Assyrians, not the Babylonians. And the enemy that destroyed the Jews or Judah were the Babylonians. And yet God gave Isaiah the prophecy against the king of Babylon, telling us of the future power that this empire would soon become. And God will use what happened in the heavenly realm to an angel which was an archangel, a chief angel, a ruling angel, Lucifer. Use what happened in heaven to describe what will happen in the near future concerning the king of Babylon, because there is a parallel. And by this parallel, you're going to find a lot of similar parallels in our age and in our time. And so God revealed to us through the prophecy of Isaiah what happened between Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? This word Lucifer is the only occurrence in this particular context. It literally means the morning star, bright light, light itself, the sun of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nation? So something happened that he was cast down. And then when he was cast down, he was cast out of heaven onto the earth. And when he was on this earth, he weakened the nations. How did he weaken the nations? By all his lies and deception, and by all the evil that he did on earth. He turned the world into a world of sin and wickedness. The evidence is all around us. You read history, that evidence remains unchanged. It's just got more potent, more rapid in its spread of its evil because of the advancement of technology. That's all. A bad, evil, corrupt book that was written in the 1990s would remain in whatever country that it was published in until or unless someone take that book, put it into a ship, and then send it to another country. And then airplanes were invented. And today with the internet, the speed and the spread of evil, many, many times faster than 100 years ago. But it is still evil. And all the nations are completely weakened by this archangel that was first created by God, known as Lucifer, Lux, light. And he was cast out from heaven by God onto the earth. Turn with me, please, to Luke 10, verse 18, where we're given a commentary by the Lord Jesus himself. Luke 10, verse 18. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 18. When the 70, whom the Lord sent out two by two, returned after the experience, the power that God gave to them in Christ, they came back rejoicing, and they said these words in verse 17 of Luke chapter 10. Lord, even the devils or the demons are subject unto us through thy name. It was a most powerful and unique experience they had never experienced before. And then the Lord said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. All right, so the Lord himself was there when the devil was cast out of heaven, and before he was given the name the devil, he was known as Lucifer, the archangel, the morning star. That was his name. Revelation 12. Verse 4, again describing the fall. And his tail, that is whose tail? Lucifer. But in verse 3 of Revelation 12, he was not called Lucifer by then. God already given him a new title or new titles. A great red dragon, 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns on his head. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. The stars of heaven here refers to the angelic beings. How many angels God created on day one, we do not know. But what we know from Revelation 12, verse 4, is that 1/3 of all the angelic beings that God created, so if there was 1 billion, 1/3 of 1 billion fell with him individually, because angels were not procreated from mommy angel, daddy angel, and then baby angels. No such thing. Each and every one of them was created individually. And when they fell, each and every one chose to fall with Lucifer. It's not like mankind. When Adam and Eve fell, all humanity fell with them because they represented us. Lucifer did not represent any angel except himself. And so when he was cast out, when he fell into sin, he himself chose and he himself was cast out. But it so happened, the Bible tells us, that 1/3 of all the angelic beings decided to follow him individually. And these are called demons. One devil, many demons. And they also were all cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as he was born. The woman there basically represent the people of God, Israel, in particular in the Old Testament. And so we have here in this one verse the revelation of the fall of demons, and that's why the devil will have many demons, legions of them. And their agenda and their purpose on earth to destroy God's people and God's work through his people. So they are very busy. Look across to verse 9 of Revelation 12. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, what is this casting? How many times must they be cast out? Look at the verse before, verse 8. They prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So apparently what happened is this. When they were first cast out of heaven, Lucifer plus 1/3 of all the angels cast out of heaven because of sin. Now, what the sin was, we'll look at that later. And while they are here on earth, they will do a lot of terrible things, especially targeting God's people and God's work through God's people. But when we look at Job, for example, Job chapters 1 and 2, you find that they were still permitted to enter heaven. They had to report to God in heaven. That's what we found in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. So they will go from heaven unto the earth, heaven unto the earth. Now, these fallen angels are like us, creatures. They can be only in one place at a time. If they are in heaven, they are not on earth. If they are on earth, they are not in heaven. They will continue to do their nonsense to stop the work and the will of God in heaven and on earth. And that's why in Daniel we also see how he tried to delay God's servant from coming to help God's people in answer to prayers. Revelation 12, verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. You see that? So, after the first fall out of heaven, when they are cast out of the earth, they were still permitted to go up to heaven. How frequent, how often, we do not know. But it happened. And here, Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 tells us that there is battle being fought in heaven right now, because Revelation 12, verse 7 is in the future. But there will come a point in time when the fallen angels led by Lucifer will lose the battle against Archangel Michael and the good angels. And then the Bible says in Revelation 12, verse 8b, that their place found no more anymore in heaven. That means during the last few years of man's existence, this is during the Great Tribulation, the final 7 years, the devil will be permanently cast out of heaven, never to be permitted to ever enter heaven again. So there'll be no more fighting with Archangel Michael and the other good angels in the spiritual realm. Where will they be? Verse 9 says they'll be cast out onto the earth. Well, that's where they're going to remain until the end. So where do all these fallen angels come from? From heaven. They did something in heaven that God had to cast them out, led by their chief called Lucifer. One third of all the good angels fell from heaven onto this earth. That means we are living on earth where demonic activities are very, very much alive. So please do not think that as long as you mind your own business, you are safe. Please do not think that as long as I don't go to church, I just simply do what I want, I am okay. You are not okay. This earth is where the Lord had cast out the demons and Lucifer. You are in his domain, in other words, dear friend. You are in his territory. You mean he did something to me? As long as you are alive, as long as you have IQ and you are aware of who you are, as long as you're able to think, you are studying in his school. You are living in his world. If you are working outside, you are working in his world. Please understand this. Are you sure, preacher? The Bible simply says that he has been cast out onto this earth. Where in the world did the Bible say that he is in control of this world, that he is the God of this world? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. If you think that by simply minding my own business, I have no religion, I am safe. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, we are not safe. Nobody is safe on this earth except in Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Those who refuse to believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 4, the God of this world, who is the God of this world? Lucifer, the archangel. He's not going to let one of these small fallen demons to be in charge. He is number one. He has blinded not the eyes, because your eyes are still very open, but the minds. How does he blind our minds? With words, with education, with teaching. You can understand, right? You can speak, right? That's why he has blinded your minds with the knowledge of the world that he had himself control. Evolution, one of them. But evolution came from Darwin, right? Came from man. These are his workers. These are his servants. These are in bondage to sin. They do his will. But they might not know it. You don't have to know it to do his will. That's how clever he is. And that's why the Lord described him as the God of this world. Because that is the power of God, is it not? And so what we see here is the devil performing power that is similar to God, making people do his will without their knowledge. Blinded their minds, especially those who do not want to believe in the gospel, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into their mind, who is the image of God, that is Christ, should shine unto them. You can't be left alone because you are not alone. He had already blinded your minds the moment you go to school. That's why we try to help you by having our own Christian kindergarten. You send your children to all the kindergartens that are not Christian in nature, that will not teach you who Jesus Christ is. You now start your children very young with the knowledge of the God of this world, and the blindness will continue. And then when you send them to secondary or primary school, it continues, and then it continues all the way right until they finish their university, including postgraduate. They continue to blind. And you can see the evidence all around you. He has blinded, for example, many people into thinking that the good life, the successful life, the life worth living is a life that is measured by the abundance of what we possess. Isn't that true? Isn't that what you believe? Isn't that what many people in the world believe? A successful life is measured by the abundance of what you possess. And so, therefore, we put people who became millionaires before they turned 25 on a pedestal for everybody to follow in their footsteps. Isn't that the life of a successful individual? And when this man dies, a multimillionaire, who told him that naked you came into this world and naked you leave this world? That's not a successful life. That is a life that has been wasted, and now he will die in sin and end up in hell. Blinded in their minds by the God of this world. He was once Lucifer, but he was cast out because of sin. What sin did he commit? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 and verse 14 will tell us the sin. And then you realize that this sin that the devil committed, he had not repented of it because he still wants it. Has he repented? Sadly, no. But thou hast said in thy heart, all right? Thou said in his heart. Now, if God did not reveal to us, we will not know. God is now revealing to us why he was cast out. Because it was only in his heart. You mean the devil got a heart inside of him? Inside. That means he did not even act on it. He did not even have to say it out. But in heaven, the Lucifer had this in his heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. In other words, I want to be God. That's what it means. I want to be God because God alone ascended into the heavens. God alone sits on the throne. But he says, I want to exalt my throne above the stars of God. I want to be king. I want to be God. Verse 14 made it abundantly clear. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. You see that? That was the sin that he committed in heaven. He wanted to take the place of God. To be created as the archangel was not good enough. He wanted to be the creator. And God cast him out. Has he repented? Definitely not. What did he blind the people to become? He has blinded the people to worship him. What is worship? Worship is basically service. That's why it is called worship service. Who do you serve? In other words, who is your motive? What is or who is the driving force behind your passion for life? What is the driving force that causes you to wake up every morning to work so hard? What is your motive? Who do you work for? What do you work for? The world works for one word, mammon. Materialism. Materialism is the carrot that the God of this world dangled in front of everybody's eyes. And so by worshipping mammon, by having mammon as your motive, your promotion and your job and all the money and the big house and the big car and all things material, you are worshipping him. He wanted to be God. When he did so in heaven, God cast him onto this earth, and now he has blinded the minds of the people to worship him as God. And then in the closing years of man's existence, which the Bible describes as 7 years, he will succeed because he will choose one man out of the billions that we have and make him the Antichrist. And then he will choose another individual to assist the Antichrist, the false prophet. And then he will energize them with the power to do miracles, so much so that for the first time in human history, the statue of the Antichrist will be able to speak. And the world will be amazed. And the world will say, this is God. This is his agenda. This is his sin. Has he changed? No. You cannot be left alone because the devil will not leave you alone. Then how do I get out of it? Only God can help you. Not by your good works. You can't get out of the grasp and the hold of the devil by good works. Because no matter how many good works you do, the bondage of sin will continue to plague us. So much so that every so-called good works that we think we have done or we desire to do, they're already disqualified as good works from God's perspective because these good works are done with hands that are stained by sin. How can you expect to produce something that is clean when the product is created by hands that are dirty? Impossible. That's why God says the good works of man, even their righteousness, the best would be filthy rags in God's sight. Not just simply slightly dirty. Filthy rags, very dirty. If you think that by your good works, you can deliver yourself from the bondage of sin and your eyes can be opened by the blindness of the God of this world, then you don't understand the power of the fallen angel. When he came out or when he was cast out of heaven, God never called him Lucifer again. That's why that word Lucifer in Isaiah 14 is the only occurrence. God gave him new titles, new names, and new description to describe who he is, to warn us. The God of this world, that means you're in his world, he controls you. He's also called the father of lies. He is a master of deception. Evolution did not come from Darwin. It came from the God of this world. All the fake information that you have, all the religions of the world came from the God of this world. He's also called the accuser of the brethren. He's also called the devil. The devil refers to a slanderer. He will use all kinds of individuals to destroy your reputation. Slanderer. That's what the slanderer does, right? All kinds of names, false information, all kinds of method to destroy you. For example, Jesus cast out the demon. The enemies of Christ, who are the ones used by the God of this world, not people with no reputation. These were the Sanhedrin council members, the priests, scribes, Pharisees, key, highly respected religious leaders of the people of God. They believed that they had God on their side and they were on God's side. And since Jesus Christ is our enemy, and yet we cannot deny the miracle that he had just performed, and since he is not on God's side and we are on God's side, we cannot deny the miracle. We have to conclude that he must have done the miracle with the power of Beelzebub, another nickname given to the fallen archangel Lucifer. Beelzebub, the devil himself. Slanderer. They dare to even slander the Lord Jesus Christ. Call him energized by the devil himself. That's where you get your power to do your miracles. If he dares to do that to Christ, you think he won't dare to do to any one of us? Slander you, call you all kinds of names just to destroy your reputation so that whatever you say, people won't believe. That's what they did to Christ. They did to all of God's servants. The devil. And so God gave him that name to warn us that if that ever happens to you, don't be shocked. That's what the devil would do. And then when the word Satan is used, Satan, it means an adversary. An adversary is a person who will attack you and destroy you when you least expect it. Because that's what happened in the book of 1 Samuel. When the Philistine kings, together with another Philistine king by the name of Achish, who was David's friend, and he thought that David was his friend, and David and his men accompanied them, and they assembled together to fight against Israel. At the time, King Saul was king. David didn't want to fight against Israel. And so David did not know how to get out of this dilemma, because he had pretended to be an enemy of Israel to find safety in the midst of the Philistine kings. Achish trusted David, but the other kings did not. And so they argued with Achish. Hey, who is this fella? We don't want him. He is not on our side. He is a Satan. He's an adversary, because in the heat of the battle, just in case, he could just simply turn around and fight us and kill us from behind. He is a Satan. And by this usage, you realize that a Satan is an adversary who will pretend to be your friend. And then at the right moment, the right time, when you least expect it, he will come and he will hit you and destroy you. That's a Satan, an adversary. Why did God give the fallen chief angel Lucifer so many different names? To tell us all that he is doing on earth. What he is doing on earth. So that you and I better beware. He is in control. The only way is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ, the Creator, can destroy him. But how did he destroy him? Why didn't God just destroy the devil by just casting him into the lake of fire? And why did he just cast him and put him onto this earth? He could do that, but he did not. You know why? Because the Lord tells us, I have to destroy what he has done to mankind. He deceived Eve, and through Eve, Adam sinned, and because of that, no human being, all who are created in God's image, no human being could be found in heaven because of what the devil did. And in order to destroy the works of the devil in your life and in my life, in humanity, God had to make sure that there are some human beings in heaven. But as long as they remain in sin, sinners cannot enter heaven. And God had to get rid of the sins in your life and in my life so that we could go to heaven. And in order to destroy the devil, God must destroy the works of the devil in you and in me by saving us. And that's why God the Father sent Jesus Christ onto this earth to live and to suffer and to die for your sins and for my sins because of God's justice. When God said, the devil knew, anyone who sinned against God must die. And the devil caused us to sin against him, caused our first parent to sin against God, and therefore all humanity must die. Unless we find someone to die in our place. And that's why Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross for your sake and for my sake in our place because of our sin. He is perfect. He was perfect. He will forever be perfect. Then why did he have to suffer so much pain and shame? Why must he die? Is it not true that when a person sinned, then he dies? Then why must Jesus die? Does it not mean that he has sinned? No, he did not sin. He died because of your sins and my sins. He could easily have freed himself and would still remain fully 100% God and righteous. Because he was perfect without sin. He need not die. He should not die. But he did. Because of you and because of me, because of your sins and my sins, he died in our place. But why did he do that? He died in our place because that's the only way to save you and me from our sins. Is it automatic? No, it is not automatic. You have to believe. You have to believe by faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins with all your heart. That Jesus Christ took my place. That I was there with Jesus Christ. When he died, I died with Christ. But how do I know it is enough? That happened 2,000 years ago. How do I know it is enough that when I say I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior, as one who died in my place, oh God, how do I know it is enough to satisfy God's justice and wrath against me? Because God says, I raised him from the dead on the third day after he died to show you that it is fully paid for and I accept it as enough. Why 3 days? Because as far as the Jews were concerned, anyone who died and rise from the dead less than 3 days, suspicion will follow. Maybe he never really died. That's why 3 days, fully 100%, no doubt, 100% dead. That makes the resurrection real and true and no argument, no doubt, in the minds of any of the people in those days, because that's their belief. No challenge. Guaranteed. He rose from the dead to tell us that in Jesus Christ, all your sins and my sins are fully paid for in Christ. You mean it is as simple? Yes, it is as simple as that, because it is by God's grace and mercies. You can't pay money for it. It is all for free, even though it cost Jesus Christ his life's blood. Salvation cost Christ his blood, but it is freely offered to us. As simple as that. But you have to humble yourself. We are all born in sin. We all cannot save ourselves. All our good works are as filthy rags. If you think that you can buy your way into Christ, you are most mistaken, because the God of this world has blinded your minds. That kind of thinking is blindness. If you think that by coming to church you can be saved, by giving offering you can be saved, that is also the lies of the devil. You cannot be saved by good works, even Christian good works. Only Jesus Christ can save. You think I can be saved by just preaching God's word? I can't be saved by preaching God's word. I can only be saved by Christ and Christ alone. No exception. And we thank God for many who have believed. And that's why the Bible says Jesus Christ took on flesh and blood just like us, but without sin, in order to destroy the devil who has the power of death, so that the devil will no longer have the last word and say that no man is going to be in heaven, no woman is going to be in heaven, no child is going to be in heaven, because I have deceived them and I have won. God says, no, you have not won. You have been soundly defeated, because all those who have truly believed in Christ will be in heaven. The accuser of the brethren will have empty, vain accusation. Would you be in heaven? You can't be in heaven because of sin. And if we die in sin, we end up in hell, because we have sinned against God. We are not talking about sin against one another. Sin against one another, I can forgive you, you can forgive me, done. But sin against God, what must I do to find forgiveness from God? Nothing. Nothing. And if I die in my sin, I end up in hell, and that is the justice of God. That is how grievous it is to sin against God. And that's why it has to be only through the blood of Christ. That's the only way we can have our sins forgiven and cleansed and washed, and the punishment of God removed from our lives forever in Christ. And that's why Jesus came, to deliver us. There is no salvation for fallen angels. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2 in closing. Hebrews chapter 2, where it says, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that is Christ also himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's the only way to destroy the power of the devil over us. Why? Because he had brought sin into this world by his deception of Eve, and Eve gave the fruit to Adam, and because of him, all of us are bound for hell. And God says, no, I want you to be bound for heaven, not hell. And that's why Jesus Christ came, to die for you and for me. and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. That's why angels, once they fall into sin, they will remain as fallen angels for eternity, and ultimately they'll be cast into the lake of fire, which we're going to look at in greater detail when we study the end of the devil and the demons. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For you and for me, that's why Jesus Christ came, to defeat the devil, so that your minds may no longer be blinded by him, so that the word of God will fill your mind and your heart, so that you will see through all the evils and the deceptions of the devil. Only in Christ Jesus can you be delivered, can your minds be free. For in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able, he has the power to succor, to help them that are tempted. To help us. And that's why, as Christians, don't be like the dog and go back to its own vomit. We have a new nature in Christ. We are changed. We are transformed. We are no longer bound by sin, no longer blinded by the God of this world in Christ. Open your eyes, open your mind, and see. Don't live for mammon anymore. Live only for your Savior. Truly, in Christ Jesus. All you need to do is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, rose from the dead for your justification with all your heart, and you will be saved. And the devil will have no more sway and control over your life. That's freedom. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we pray, O Lord, for thy Holy Spirit to speak to every heart. Bring conviction to every soul, that we may all understand the danger that we are in, the peril that is before us every moment of every day, to walk in sin in the realm of the God of this world, who has blinded the minds of those who do not believe in Christ. And therefore, only by believing in Christ will we be freed and delivered from this blindness. We pray, O Lord, for thy mercies upon everyone, especially those who have yet to accept Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind, and confess their sins and acknowledge that he is their Lord and their God. May thy Holy Spirit speak to them and bring much conviction so that they truly may understand what it means to become a Christian and to have their minds open and see what it means to become a child of God. Oh Lord, may thou be merciful to open our minds to see through the power of the gospel in Christ Jesus. May this be our experience this evening for every one of us. Help us and hear our cry for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.